woke up this morning with the Lord saying, my people need to understand faith that is tested and tried. And he took me to Psalm 105:19, but I'm going to read a few other couple of verses ahead of that. And starting in verse 17, it says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, and they afflicted his feet with feathers. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. I'm going to say that again. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. I would say that today, and in our nation, individuals and corporately as a nation, the word of the Lord is testing us. See, the word of the Lord over these United States is that from these shores, the gospel of the kingdom would go not only to this land, but to the nations of the world. That's God's intention. But that word is testing us. Will we live true to that word? Will we press through the obstacles? Will we hold on to what God said without wavering, without shrinking back, without allowing the testing to defile us and bring us into anger, rage, resentment, and acting like the enemy? We're being tested. See, we know the story of Joseph, and that's what that passage is about, is Joseph. You remember he had the dreams that showed what God was going to do in his life. He shared it with his brothers. Now, I hear people say all the time that he was impetuous in sharing it with his brothers. Well, maybe he was, and maybe he wasn't. Let's don't throw Joseph out too quick here, okay? Because all he did was say what God said. And we need to understand that when you say what God says, there are those that will come against you. The world, your family, many in the church will not like what you say when you say what God says. They'll say things to you like they did to Joseph. Well, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? So Joseph, all of a sudden, he shares his dream. He went from being the favored son to the envied brother. Anybody been an envied brother? And I'm not just talking family. And out of being an envied brother, because here's the truth about envy. Envy always leads to murder. Always. Jealousy leads to envy. Envy leads to murder. So what that murderous, that envious spirit with a spirit of murder attached to it threw Joseph, the dreamer, into a pit. What was the intention? That he would die. They were not at the point where they would kill him themselves, but they thought, well, if we sell him into slavery, they'll take care of it for us, and we can be exonerated because we can put blood on his beautiful robe, take it back home to Father, and Father will have pity on us because Joseph got mauled by an animal. Do you see the cover up? This is what the spirit of religion will do to those who are moving forward in the spirit of God. Wow. That was a spirit word right there, I'm just going to tell you. So Joseph gets thrown into the pit, gets sold into slavery. From slavery, he's doing what he's supposed to do in his slavery role, right? And he's doing it with excellence. He gets set up and ends up thrown in prison. And then while he's thrown in prison, there's a promise that he's getting out, and he doesn't get out, he gets forgotten. Anybody been forgotten? Come on. You need to see yourself in the story. You need to see, more important, you need to see the church in the story. Because there's a promise over the people of God that we are to sit in heavenly places, that we are seated in heavenly places, but we've been the envied brother thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and now thrown into prison. Is that where we are? Come on. We've been forgotten. The church forgot the remnant. Now, I'm not talking all of the church, but I'm talking the in name only church, as Tim Sheet says. And they're actually the ones that threw us in the pit and sold us into slavery. And they want us to just sit down and be quiet. Guess what? Haven't? Not going to. But in prison, in slavery and in prison, Joseph's faith gets tested. I mean, my brothers forsook me. I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm told to do. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And Pharaoh's wife accuses me of debauchery that I didn't do, and I find myself in prison. In your journey of faith, you will get accused of things you didn't do in order to silence the voice that's in you. And you have to learn to stand and not get bitter. To stand and allow those tests, allow all of that stuff that happens in the pit and then in the prison, the beaten, forsaken, accused, betrayed, all of that stuff, and not allow it to make you hard and brittle, but allow every bit of it to fashion you for the promise. So you have to be fashioned for the promise. We, Ecclesia, have to be fashioned for the promise. See, in the pit and in the prison, even in the palace, there's a testing that comes that is preparing you to walk into the purpose for which God created you. If you get taken with unforgiveness and bitterness in the pit, if you get taken with your pride in the palace, come on. And then I've been forsaken, beaten, and betrayed, and I just don't think there's any hope. You're not prepared for your promise. But if you stay in a place of, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. None of this looks like the promise you showed me. Can you imagine what Joseph felt during all that time? Can you imagine all of the emotions, all of the pressures, all of the mind battles that he went through? Can you imagine? But all the time, I'm trying to find the words to say this. It's not that he didn't have those battles. He stayed and pressed through those battles. Did he have ups and downs along the way? I believe so, because he's flesh and blood. Are there days he probably went into his room, whether in the palace as a slave or in the prison as a prisoner? Did he go back to his room and cry out to God and say, why? Probably. I can't imagine that he didn't. Did he at times think that he was deceived and, well, that was just a pizza dream? Come on, I'm using our modern, I mean, come on. Did he possibly just say, well, what in the world was that? Because this certainly doesn't look like that. Have you been there? I have. See, he kept going. He didn't stop. But then he makes the second trip into the palace. And this time, God says, okay, you're prepared now. And I'm going to bring you out of the prison, and I'm going to give you a place in the palace with authority. And even that had embedded in it test and trials, temptations. Because all of a sudden, he's a Hebrew in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's palace, as a leader. How well do you think that went over with the rest of the Egyptians? Probably not real well. But he went there. And then one of the greatest tests came. His brothers show up. The land is in famine, and the very ones that threw him in the pit show up, and he sees them. Now let me ask us a real honest question. If those that threw you in the pit showed up, and you knew that the reason they had come was in order to get grain and food from you, because God had given you a strategy on how to save up in the time of abundance for the coming famine. Remnant, God's had us preparing in a time of abundance of the Spirit. An abundance of the availability of the Word of God. An abundance of the freedoms that we've had. Come on. And we are rising. And I believe the season that we're in, and even the season we're about to walk into, is preparing us so when we get into a position of authority and having a voice in the nation as the ecclesia, we've been tested and tried, so that when we're given that influence individually and collectively, we won't look at those that threw us into the prison and act in bitterness and rage and envy. But we will have the wisdom of God to know how to answer and how to set things up so that we can provide, but also we can be an instrument of restoration and redemption. See, there are people within the in-name-only church that mock, ridicule, accuse, curse, condemn the remnant. You do know that, right? But at God's appointed time, they're going to turn. And we can't have I told you so mentality. See, Joseph could have had, I told you, now bow. But he didn't. He didn't have that at all. Now, I just love this story because he had such wisdom from God that in order to get not just his brothers and send the food back, he wanted his father brought and his little brother. He wanted full restoration. But see, he couldn't have gotten there without his faith having been tested and proven. See, he overcame betrayal. His forgiveness that undoubtedly over the years that he was separated from his brothers as he went through the pit, the slavery, the prison, and back into the palace, but still he's got to have in there somewhere, my brothers threw me into a pit. But when his brother showed up, his forgiveness was tested. Because it's one thing to have a theory of forgiveness. It's one thing to say, oh, I forgive them. But what do you do when they waltz back into your life and act like nothing ever happened? And you're thinking, what? Can you live out the forgiveness you've proclaimed? Can you sit and have an honest, loving conversation with the very ones that betrayed and forsook, cursed you, reviled you, and spoke all manner of evil against you? Can you still love them? Can you live out the forgiveness in real time? Forgiveness is easy in theory, but your forgiveness will be tested. And it's a test of faith. It's a test of your faith. And when you've overcome betrayal and your forgiveness is tested, it's the test of stepping out in trust. You know, it took a trust element for Joseph to send his brothers back and keep his little brother, right? They could have, if they still had in their heart what they had with him, they could have said, well, let Benjamin stay. It's okay. We've got our food. And see, he wasn't trusting them. He was trusting God. He was trusting God. See, we have to get to a point where our faith is so tested and tried that when it absolutely makes no sense to step out in trust, we do. Because it's not about trusting people, ultimately. It's about trusting God. We have to choose to trust people because we trust the Lord. See, people will fail us all the time. But when we put our trust, our faith in God, people can fail us and God will come through. But we have to choose to trust. Joseph had to choose to trust in that moment. And I believe in the days ahead, we're going to have an opportunity to choose to trust God in the midst of some situations and scenarios that we'd just as soon rather not in our flesh. But I believe God is wanting us to see this. Because in the days ahead, we have to have our faith so secured that in the days of the pit, the palace, the prison, and back to the palace, we're not shaken. We won't shrink back. We won't move with the force of our flesh. We'll move by the power of the Spirit. And there's a real difference, folks. We'll extend kindness to places where kindness has not been extended. We'll offer love where hatred has been given. We'll offer forgiveness where unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness is flooded toward us. And it won't have a place to land. Because our faith has been tested. And we've been found true. I believe that's what the hovering is all about. And Beverly, I'll pick up with the rest of these slides later, but I want to slip to the very last slide. Well, the next to the last slide, the path slide. I was going to go to a couple of other characters, but I want to just stop with this. And then, Laurel, I'm going to have you come and share right here at the end. The Lord gave me this phrase this morning, and I want to leave this with you. The path to the fulfillment of promise is a journey of faith. Tested and tried to stand strong and do whatever God says do. See, any that you know that stand firm in faith in the midst of great trials and tests are standing because they've passed through some test. And you notice I didn't say they've passed the test. They've passed through some test. Because I'll come back on this next week because I want us to look at Elijah and Paul. Because they passed through some test. And then they passed. Then they faced some more test. You need to understand that all along your journey, you're going to pass through some test. Some, quite honestly, you'll pass. And others, you won't, and you get to take the test again. And the reason we get retested in what we didn't pass, and sometimes retested on what we did, is because God wants to be sure that the faith He was testing, the aspect of your character He was testing, is secure. Secure in Him. So that in the days of trouble, you'll stand. And having done all, you'll stand. We've got a journey ahead of us. But in the midst of the journey is great glory. It's great, great glory.